Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of a song about a person. What are you laughing for?
You said hello so weird.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
It's part two.
It's a two-part episode of the extravaganza of the crossover of the things that Shonda is known for with Grays and Pee-Pee, and it is great, and we're doing it. You've your two hosts.
I'm tired at all.
Yeah, it's okay. We got this. Unique New York. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and we are going to get right back into it, and we are going to start with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Incredible. So we have, okay, here's what I did.
Did you do
I
for
got
both?
Everybody from both episodes. So okay. All together, there are three.
All right.
Two are from Private Practice, and one is from Grays.
The Grays one is going to be lymph node lady.
No, but I was surprised that she wasn't.
Is it one of the guys? The Mike, Tommy, or Dominic? Okay.
No.
Is it Morgan?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, who else is in this episode? Okay. And then in Private Practice, it's the couple.
No. Wait. It's one of them.
The dad.
No.
The mom.
How sad was that, though? Oh,
so, wow.
I did not like that.
1 second they're cracking her chest open. 1 second they're in the morgue. I don't understand science, apparently.
That's not my favorite.
So the dead mom?
Yeah.
And then Corinne?
No. But I do have a fun fact about Corinne.
Okay.
She is the voice of Tiana.
What?
I know.
Wow. That's
Honey Rose, yeah.
Dope. Wow. Shout out.
Yeah.
Who else was in?
Addison's therapist.
Oh, I forgot that I even saw that person's face.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Amanda Fuller plays Morgan. She was in one episode of Scandal. Scott Alan Smith plays the therapist. He was in a different episode of Scandal. And this is fucked up. Dahlia Salem, who plays Gloria, is in an episode of Grey's in season 18.
Also dies.
Like, you just, like, this is, like, it's a crossover episode with Grey's. And you later on are going to be in Grey's. Come on. Separate it a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
wait, before we do all the things, make sure everyone you're listening on your favorite platforms, you're subscribing on your favorite platforms, you're sharing on your Instagram stories. Special shout out to Katya. I know you're always sharing on Instagram stories. Yeah. We love it, and we love you. And we also appreciate anyone who's willing to give us the 5-star reviews. You know, write a little thing down on wherever you listen with the Apple Podcast. If you're on Spotify, give us that 5-star. If you're on Google Play, whatever you do, give us the 5 stars. Go to patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod and find us in our Discord chat talking about the best stuff in the entire world.
Also, I forgot to read Meredith's voiceover, so I'm going to do that first. This is Meredith's voiceover from the beginning of and end of the Grey's episode. She says, when you've tried everything, but that headache won't go away, you can't stop coughing, the swelling won't go down, that's when you turn to a professional. As surgeons, we spend years developing skills of perception that allow us to see exactly what the problem is. Trouble is, sometimes all that time spent developing those skills of perception can leave a person with an extremely narrow point of view. And how are you supposed to argue with someone who has science on their side? Actually finding out that you've been looking at things all wrong can be sort of liberating. And suddenly you see new potential, new possibilities where you'd never seen them before. And that's all fine when a hopeless situation suddenly looks good. Unfortunately, sometimes it goes the other way.
Owen and Christina.
Yes.
So that was the one for Grays. Basically, when... Addison, I could not remember her name for a minute, starts therapy in Private Practice. Her therapy sessions act the same way that Meredith voiceovers act in Grey's. Like, it kind of opens and she's like talking about something like, oh, it's so hard. And then at the end, it sums it up. She's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if life was just easier? I'm like, well, yeah, but okay. So Addison's therapy sessions, which I think they started in season four. I'm not positive.
If they did, I haven't gotten there.
Oh, well, then maybe they start in season five. But I think it's before that. Anyway, so Addison starts going to therapy, and that's like how that's how they utilize that storytelling feature. So she's in therapy. She's so pretty.
Also, yeah,
like,
they
literally distracts me in this episode. She has like black and red and pink tweed dress on.
Yeah,
like near the end when she goes to talk to Jake, I was like, I'm unwell. Her eyebrows are so incredible.
And the way that they almost differentiate between her therapy version and like the regular episode, yeah. There's like a different. I swear they're using 1080p.
Like a glow.
Yeah, there's
that
a glow
behind her, so they can put like a glow on her.
Yeah, it's the glow crazy. Is working for her.
She's just an angel. We love Kate Walsh,
but she's problematic in this TV show. But it's fine.
Well,
everyone's kind of problematic in Private Practice.
A little bit, yeah. Private Practice, there's a lot more talking through actively in a workplace scenario, because there's just like as an environment, it's less high stress because it's not a hospital. It's not, they're not doing surgeries. It's a private practice. That's why they call it private practice. So
instead, they need to have people stabbing people and, you know, babies being ripped out of their entire uterus on a floor, you know?
Yeah. So,
do we want to talk about the Erica surgery?
The crossover.
There we go.
Yeah, well, so the point of the crossover is leading up to this point. If you haven't watched Private Practice, I'm going to tell you what happens. I can't say it's a spoiler because you need the information to get here. At the beginning of season five, I think it's like episode four, this lady, Erica, shows up at Cooper's door and she's like, hey, we slept together 9 years ago. I have a kid and it's your kid. There's some back and forth with her and Charlotte. It doesn't start great. Not a great look for Charlotte. Understand where she's coming from.
All right. So, yeah.
So that all gets resolved with Charlotte and Erica, clearly, by the way they are together in this episode. It takes a while, obviously. There's a lot of other things that happen, but as far as like the Cooper, that's who Erica is, and the reason that she has sought Cooper out is because she is aware that she has this brain tumor and she needs basically Mason to have another parent, because she's like, everyone told her it's inoperable, she's gonna die. So, of course, because it's Shonda, they're like, nah, not with Derek around. So Amelia's like, we can go to Derek and he'll be a piece of shit about it, but we'll save you. And so
he'll be a piece of shit about it, but we'll save you. That was funny.
That's what happens. So she goes to Seattle without them and she takes the scans and she's like, gets Derek to look at it. Derek is very hesitant to do this because also in Private Practice, what's been happening is Amelia has fallen off the wagon of her sobriety. She has had a huge crisis, gone to rehab, and she's back in recovery now. But he is, as an older brother would be, very protective of her. Also important to remember that Derek and Amelia were the two that were there at the store when their dad was shot. It was the two of them in like the back room. So they were there together. So they definitely have this like very specific bond from that event. And then also just like the typical older brother, youngest sister situation. So Amelia is also a neurosurgeon. She says, let's go to Derek. Maybe Derek can do this or like help us figure it out. He doesn't want to because he's really like concerned about her state. And he's like with Lexi, when they start doing these, like no hope, whatever, lost cause cases, he has concerns and he's like, I know that like you'll be okay even if you're not okay, but I don't know that about Amelia, because he is factoring in all this other stuff and he's telling her that she's too emotionally involved, and Lexi is telling him he's too emotionally involved in Amelia. Because he says, oh, you know these people, you're too emotionally involved to like see that you can't do this. And Lexi is saying, you're too emotionally involved in Amelia's recovery to see that you can do this. She says, like, if any other doctor brought this to you, you'd be like so ready to go.
When she hits him with the am I wrong, though, and he says nothing, that's when you know. Yeah. You're like, okay, yeah, you just won that argument.
Yeah. There's also the relationship between Amelia and Derek. Clearly, there's a lot to unpack there. But she's like calls him a jackass and Lexi gets kind of mad about it, which is really cute, I do think. And they clearly have like a brother-sister relationship in addition to this kind of competitive work situation, because he is, you know, Derek Shepherd, he's the best, blah, blah, blah. And she is kind of living in that shadow in a way. Not even that like she's not great, because she is, but when you're a younger sibling, you and I never experienced this because we are the oldest
and the best. But,
well, my sister, like obviously we went to the same high school. We also more so in high school than now, but like we have always looked alike, but like in high school we really looked alike. So she had to go through, anytime she had a teacher that I had also had at some point, they called her Kelsey. Not like consistently, but just like, we are 4 years apart. It feels like far enough apart for that not to happen.
That's hard. That's tough.
But Michael had the same thing. Like he would go to school and they'd be like, another Kulisek. Like, oh, here we go. Like another Kulisek boy over here. So you definitely, it's just like a kind of a different dynamic with a younger, older. And then obviously being in the same field and both being hyper competitive and very successful. And then just like their general past that they have. And we've met now. Nancy was the one with the short hair, I think, that was in the trailer with Derek like a long time ago.
Yeah, this is, we've met two. Does he have three sisters?
Yeah, we've met, no, four maybe.
Well,
so I think he's, I feel like there's five of them. But we've met the mom,
yeah,
obviously.
I remember
the mom,
her.
And we met Nancy and Amelia. I don't remember the other one's names. I want to say maybe one of them is named Catherine. I don't know.
Heigl? Does Catherine Heigl come back and play Derek's sister?
No, George comes back and play Derek's sister. So, yeah. Anyways, I like Amelia, but a lot of it is because I really like, A, the actress who plays her is just incredible, but B, a lot of what they give her in private practice is really, really well done. So you'll get back through that when you go back through.
Yeah,
it. It's actually in season five. It's kind of like simultaneously while Cooper is becoming a father figure and kind of figuring out how he's gonna like work in Mason's life, but before they know Eric is sick.
Yeah, there definitely is. I want to go back and I want to see the, you know, her falling off the wagon, and she has a really good scene with Derek where Derek's like, oh, you're too fragile, you're blah, blah, blah. And when she's like, dude, I fell off the wagon, I got back on twice. Like that doesn't make me fragile. That makes me strong.
She says, I am in a building full of pills and I'm not doing drug. Like that's, she wasn't doing meth. You know, she wasn't doing heroin. She does Oxy, like that is her drug of choice, is opioids. And like are you cold?
Yeah, my basement's kind of cold right now.
You're getting
no
sick.
I'm not, it's just my basement's
got Carmen's never
I'm kind
cold,
of it's
guys.
Just the basement, it's
uh-oh.
Chilly.
Oh god, yes, nah,
I got the black lung pop.
So yeah,
it's just a really good scene.
There's a lot with Amelia's story, there's a lot with their characters. I love the dynamic of Amelia and Lexi.
Yes,
so funny
when she's like, when they're trying and they're get, what, 97 seconds or 98 seconds or something, they get it, they can't get it.
Yeah,
she's like, when Lexi says there's a guy with his hand in a meat grinder, like would that make you feel better, should we just go like look at that? She's like, yeah,
yes, we should go look at that.
Or when
also when she goes to Amelia and Amelia's like, oh, I really want to try this, but like, don't we need Derek to sign off on it? And Lexi's like, well, I can ask him. And then she goes to leave and she's like, wait, you just manipulated me into thinking that was my idea to ask him on your behalf. And Lex or Amelia's like, yeah, that was good, right? I'm really good at that.
Yeah, that was a funny scene. What I like a lot about Amelia's character is she's a successful person who happens to struggle with addiction. A lot of times, yeah. I think the easy trope is to find people in addiction and kind of like even look at the alternate reality, the Marvel What If version of Lexi. Just like Life was falling apart and she was addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
It's a breath of fresh air when they have someone who is painted as a very successful person and also battles addiction. I think they do a good job of writing her character.
And like comes out like beats
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't like Amelia, but couldn't be me. I understand she has problematic times, but good Lord knows all these ones do.
They all do.
Derek basically says yes to them setting up this test to like prove them wrong. And Lexi's like, you're going to be the one that's wrong.
Yeah. Saying more off the cuff things, man. I ain't nothing getting hitting tonight, Dr. Weber.
Yeah. Yeah. Lexi's really like lost her filter abilities somewhere along the road.
It's been slowly, waning ever since her mom lost her battle to the sneeze.
The sneeze. She died of the sneeze. So, also, every time we say that, someone corrects us. We know it was the hiccups. One time Carmen said sneeze, and that's funnier. We know. I promise we know. It's
the just
hiccups.
The in. It's just an inside
to
joke.
Say the
no.
sneeze.
She died the way she lived of the sneeze.
Someone corrected this week from when I had said that they didn't name Bailey's baby William. Like someone literally this week commented on something and was like, they did name him William and called him Tuck, which we have addressed. And also I will stand by the fact that that's not a nickname for William.
Well, neither is Dick and Richard, so
yeah, I don't understand anything. Peggy and Margaret. Ugh. what
when people call me Adam for short.
Yeah.
You guys, Kelsey's standing up. She's having a struggling.
I'm like doing yoga. It hurts to sit. It hurts to stand. My hips are not doing well. So I'm like trying to do yoga like over this microphone whilst recording to help my back and hips. Everything's going great. It's fine.
So they hit an 86 second test run on the surgery, and then that's the last thing that happens in the Grays episode. The rest of what we talk about now is from Private Practice Pieces.
Yeah, well, also in the Grays episode, Derek agrees to help. And that's how they get down to under 90 seconds, because they have to do all this shit to her brain in under 90 seconds, which doesn't make sense because the surgery is still like 5 hours long.
Yeah, but there's one... the one piece where they needed to do the shunts and the things, which apparently it doesn't matter anyways, because this woman shoots blood out of her brain and they just keep moving like
right on.
Man,
Bokey.
Right. It's that poor Bokey just gets blood on her.
Who also spoke in this episode.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
I think she becomes a main character in season 15 at this pace.
She's a main character in my heart
that's
right
her.
Now.
So, yeah, at the end of, maybe it's like right at the beginning of the Private Practice episode, they get it to 88 seconds. They're like, can I call Cooper? And he says, yeah, like, do it. Get him down here.
Yeah.
And then there's that scene where you've got Derek, Amelia, Lexi, Cooper, Erica, and Charlotte all in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about how the 90 seconds, like, that's the reveal. She's like, what's the catch? And there is a catch. And she's like, I need a day. Like, yeah, that's fair, Erica. I need a day. That makes sense. You should be given a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And Also, poor Lexi trying to help. It's like, don't worry, they've done it twice. And they're like, that twice, you've done it twice. That's not a high number. Then Charlotte's like, maybe we get that number up a little bit before we cut the woman's brain open. A little bit, just a little bit. So they elect to spend the day with Mason. He also doesn't know any of, like, that she's sick at all. He doesn't know that she's sick.
Well, we find that out in the next scene with them.
Yeah. So they're like outside. Cooper, Charlotte, Erica, and Mason are playing football outside. She gets emotional and he's like, are you okay? And she says, no, this is what's happening. I'm sick. That's why we came here. And he's like, how long have you been sick? And she's like, a long ass fucking time. And he's like, bitch, why would you not tell me that? So it's hostile.
This is all verbatim.
So much there cursing.
I was like,
so much cursing.
Wow. They gave swears to the Mason kid. Did you know that the kid is played by a 62-year-old man?
Yeah. Cause it was on at 10 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock. They could just drop the F bomb. 800 times.
There's not enough F-bombs in late night TV, actually. I think there needs to be more.
Because there's none. So he gets upset. Rightfully so. If I'm being honest. This is a trope I feel where, like, a parent is sick and they're like, don't tell my kid. And I'm like, why is that a solution? It never works out the way they think it's going to work out.
That scene, though, so, like, all of this is happening. They're playing football. It's super cute. She throws it. He makes this great catch, basically, where it's a fine catch, and then he just falls, so it's dramatic. But then it starts to rain, and she's giving this all of them. That is a heartbreaking scene. That is for sure a heartbreaking scene. Yeah. Like, it's not easy. It's not fun. But,
yeah,
you know,
they do a good job at it, though. Like, they do. She's like, it's fine. Like, I understand. Cooper goes after Mason. Charlotte stays with Erica to try and, like, comfort her. So then the next day, Derek and Amelia are still practicing. They are doing on and off under 90 seconds, and they say,
you don't practice until you do it right.
Until you get it right. You practice until you can't get it wrong, which is honestly, like, a pretty good way to look
at it. I'm kind of taking that mantra into the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah, I like it. Also, Lexi comes in to, like, update and Derek, and he's like, we don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but we're going to go down fighting. And she says, I want to go down fighting too. And so she's, like, in on it, obviously. She also cares. They've got Mason's picture taped to the door.
Again, in the fields. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do the surgery. Well, before they do the surgery, everyone's kind of, like, saying their goodbyes. Mason's upset and Cooper's like, please don't be upset. And Erica says, you're allowed to be upset. Like, I understand that you're upset and that's fair. But, like, you just, at the end of the day, you have to know how much I love you.
Yeah. Giving a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy vibes on this one.
I like that moment of, like, I understand you're upset, but, like, just please, like, no matter what else, know that I love you. Even if you can feel all your feelings, they're valid, they're acceptable, they're correct, but also I still love you no matter what. And then Cooper takes Mason out.
He's
like, I want to talk to Charlotte.
This scene. Hold on. So I watched this episode today while on the train going to work and from work. This scene is one of two scenes that made me very emotional today. And this was going to work. So I was on the purple line going up through the loop. Do you have any receipts on this one or no?
No, because no one's putting the transcripts for private practice online like they are Grays, apparently.
Well, either way, the basic moral of the story is Erica's like, Charlotte, this kid's gonna need a mom. And she's like, no, you're his mama. And she's like, yeah, I get what you're saying, Charlotte, but shut up. Be this kid's mom.
But he needs an alive mom. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Brutal. And he's like, he's smart. Don't push him too hard. He's like, Cooper, all this stuff. And also, like, the second Cooper and Mason leave, Charlotte just goes, what do you need? And I just, like, love her so much.
She's great.
I just love her so much.
It's It's tough too. Like, I have very challenging relationships with my parents, and my mom is you know, obviously one of those people. And my mom is one of my parents.
Your mom is one of your parents. No idea.
Okay, shut up.
I'm sorry. I'm very tired.
I can't believe I said something stupid like that. I'm an idiot.
Okay, so this is a serious moment. You have a difficult relationship with your mother.
And what I think has allowed me to have a better relationship with my mom now is because I had someone like Cindy step in. So it's so true, like the power of the relationship of having those kind of parents in your life pouring into you and supporting you and loving you. Even if she died, Charlotte would have taken that responsibility, and that would have been better than nothing for Mason. And it's just a great storyline. And a full coming, full circle for Charlotte. Because there's that scene, I think, even before that, where Cooper's like, I feel guilty because I'm just so glad that I got to meet this kid, and like I feel guilty that this joy is conflicting with this sorrow of she could be dying. And he's like, Charlotte, I just need you to know that like I need it to be okay. And she looks like she's not going to say it at first. So,
well, I think she's like battling back and forth on like, do I tell him that it won't be an issue, or do I tell him that like it will, like what he's asking, like if she dies, it will be okay.
Got it. I read it as like she was still coming to terms of where she was at. But when she said, I mean, later we find out that's different.
I could see that, but I think it's more on like, but also I think she's like, I don't know if it'll be okay for your son.
Right. Right.
Because like what? Yeah, that's brutal. So, oh man. So they do the surgery. They do the 90-second part in 85 seconds, and Lexi's all excited. Yay. And then she hits the fan, because, like, of course it does. So she has thrown a clot. She's stroking out, even though they did it at under 90 seconds. I don't understand.
Yeah, the practice was...
So they have to, like...
For not...
Yeah, it was weird. I don't understand, but it's fine. They pull the shunt out for a second so the clot can clear. The clot clears itself by shooting blood at Boki like it's coming from a cannon. And they're like, well, I guess the clot's cleared. And so they put the shunt back in. And then everything like stabilizes. And then Amelia says, like, oh, we still got 4 or 5 more hours. Also, Lexi is trying to update them because it's her job. She's like, blood pressure is high, pressure's bottoming out, whatever it is she says. And then Amelia basically tells her to stop telling them that. And so you get a moment where she goes, the pressure is what it is. And I'm like, that's awful.
After that scene, while all this is going on, Charlotte is showing Mason the brain scans. And that is just an incredible kind of like cathartic moment, I think, for Mason, because he's like, are you telling me the truth? And he's like, yeah, this is it. This is everything. So I love this scene, but this scene at the end of it is where there's a commercial on Hulu, and I am
I
immediately get a gambling commercial with Charles Barkley. And this was the funniest commercial that I have seen. I almost felt guilty laughing at it after this scene with Charlotte and Mason. He has his own little AI assistant called Chuck GPT. And he takes it and he's asking what he needs to do or like what he's not good at. And it's listing all of these things. And it's like, you should also eat more vegetables, Charles Barkley. I'm like, this is just so self-aware and meta-level humor. I love it. But also, could this have been any more of a terrible opposite juxtaposition from the scene I just watched of Private Practice?
Yeah, that scene is great because obviously a lot of Mason's anger is coming from that he feels that he has been lied to. And so for have for an adult to sit down and like not only just tell him the truth, but also like show him everything and tell him every possible outcome, obviously is going to make him just feel more included and seen and like respected as a person. And Cooper just kind of watches Charlotte and like appreciates her for what she's doing, because I don't think this is something Cooper would have been able to do. But she does it for him, for the both of them. It's a really nice moment. And then Erica wakes up and her head hurts. So they give her some pain medicine. She's like, I'm alive. Hurrah.
What was the scene? They're sitting there and they're talking and she says I lived, and yeah. Charlotte says, if this is heaven, then I want my money back. But then she says something else after it. What happened after that scene? I think I wrote incomplete notes.
She's like, Mason's outside of the window.
Oh.
And waves.
Yes, the wave, and she lifts up her hand. When Charlotte said, because I made a note. My note is, when Charlotte said perfect, this was the second time that I was crying on a train today.
Yeah, because then Mason's like putting his hand up on the window, and
yes,
everyone's emotional. They're getting you in the feels for this one.
So I cried in the purple line going to work, and I cried on the brown line going away from work. So, you know, there it is. But
there it is.
You also have the nice like wrap up scene with Derek and Amelia, where they're like, "We did that. Like, that's so fucking cool. We should publish this." And also, Derek's like, "If you ever do drugs again, I'm gonna fly down to LA and kick your ass." Which is like, you know, they have a nice hug. It's a very cool moment. Very cute.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a little celebratory moment.
And then we have that conclusion scene with Charlotte where she's like, I didn't think I could love this kid, but I am like so in love. Like, I'm so excited to do this with you and be like this person in his life. And she's like, but it's because of you, Cooper. Like, I love you so damn much that I love that kid. And it's wild. That's, ugh.
Again, I love them. Fuck.
It's going to be so sad when they break up.
It's so cute when he's like, I love Madison.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a doctor. That's, to me, that makes it that much cuter. I'm like, you know about medicine. Oh, I love them together so fucking much.
Yeah. It'll be a shame when they kill Cooper.
Big fat bummer. When he bursts into flame on the moon. Okay. So what else about the private practice side would you care to talk about? We're not probably going to talk too much about the Violet Pete Scott thing, because I don't think Carmen has enough backstory to care.
So, yeah, I don't care a ton. I will say that there's, so obviously she's sleeping with the EMT guy named Scott, Hot Scott. He wants, typical trope, he wants more, she doesn't. He wants to meet the kid, she doesn't want to, you know.
He's 29. She's right. Not.
Loving Violet's haircut, though, by the way. I think the short hair looks very nice on her.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, she talks about the sex piece. Like, that's obviously a big thing with their, like, she says this is a very physical thing. Like, if you want the incredible, unattached, filthy, dirty, X-rated sex, like, that's what you get or nothing. And he's like, all right, I'll take it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, fair, dude. We have this lady who comes in. This is a sad part, obviously sad part of the episode, where she is a patient of Sam's because she had a heart transplant, but they went to Jake from State Farm behind Sam's back.
Before he worked at whatever the practice is called.
Seaside Oceans Wellness from Addison, Montgomery, Forbes, Adrian, not Shepherd. And, exactly. But like, yeah, so they withheld that information. It's a big thing. That kind of storyline leads to a rift between Addison, Jake, and Sam, and they're fighting because she picks Sam's side. You know, whatever. But the ultimate piece is the baby lives, it's a girl, but the mom dies, and the guy is talking to her in the morgue. Super sad.
But also, why is that baby not in NICU if it was born at 30 weeks?
Right. I do want to talk just a little bit about Corinne, because it seems like it's opening. I'm kind of piecing this together myself. It turns out she has bipolar disorder, but she left their home. And Sam, Sam has the loseriest of backstories. He, like, Derek talked about the time when they saw her dad, their dad, get shot. So she went out and she put firecrackers until she wasn't scared of loud noises anymore. Sam's like, yeah. I had a birthday party and I said I didn't want you around and you ran away, so I thought you left because of me. Get better stories for Tay Diggs. Like, I don't understand. That's so stupid. Because then his sister is like, I sold my body for money. This isn't about you, you pussy. And I'm like, that's fair. Like...
Okay, did you watch the episode right before this?
No, you only told me to watch like the 12th episode or something.
Okay, so the episode right before this ends with him getting a phone call and he's like, I'm sorry, what? And going to jail. And she is at, she has like been arrested. And they have her on like just a shit ton of basically sedation medicine that, but like for when you're awake. That they would give to people in like a mental health crisis to calm them down without any like knowledge of what medication they need. So it basically turns them into a zombie. So essentially Sam goes and picks her up and is like, what the fuck? Because I mean, he said they thought she was dead.
Yeah, they held a funeral for her.
Yeah. So he gets Sheldon involved to like clear her like system out and like kind of start talking to her to be like, okay, there is a mental health component, but we need to find an actual diagnosis so we can get an actual treatment. And that diagnosis ends up being bipolar, which makes sense to me. I do have a couple of friends who have different, because there's like bipolar one, bipolar two. I do have a couple of friends who have bipolar two. And the manic episode, I felt like at the, when she's talking, to Sheldon in the beginning and she's like, I organized the books and I did the laundry and I did this, and it's like, but she's like so excited about it. That to me, I felt like from my experience as someone only knowing people with it, like obviously I don't have it, I haven't like lived through it, I've only lived through seeing other people in manic episodes, I felt like that was an accurate depiction of that.
Yeah, it seemed like they did a really good job of like describing the mental health. And even when Sheldon is like describing it to Sam, or there's someone who's describing it at one point, I'm like, yeah, this is like, they did a good, I think they do bipolar respect from what I know of the condition. I don't know enough about it.
If we're speaking incorrectly and like you feel like this is a poor representation, let us know. We're happy to make
yes please
again, because we're not speaking from the experience of having it, I'm just speaking from experience of like close friends with it. So, and I feel like also a lot of times manic episodes are displayed on like the more the negative side when it's like the manic depressive episode rather than this kind of where it's like, go, go, go. So I thought that was an interesting choice. But yeah, I think so. He says like he wants to talk to her and like get a diagnosis and help her get on the right kind of medication. To help her, and she's like, no, I've been on all these medications, nothing's gonna help, I just want to feel something. It's very sad to think of someone living so long. I want to read the monologue. So like basically what leads up to this, this is later in the episode, but what leads up to it is she mentions, oh, when I was living like on the streets of Venice Beach, a chef took pity on me and taught me how to cook, like 5 years ago. And Sam's like, wait, what do you mean 5 years ago? Like, how long have you been in LA? And she says, like, 5 years. And he gets really mad because I guess in his mind, she had run away and been elsewhere for like the 20 years that she's been gone. And for some reason, the fact that she was in the city where he lives was like very upsetting to him. I mean, I understand it, but like that specifically like pushed him over the edge of like being tolerant, I guess. I don't really know. And so he just starts screaming at her. He's like, you have no idea what you did to me. You don't know what you did to our mother. Like, we thought you were dead. We held a funeral for you. We put your name on a tombstone. You ran away, like, blah, blah, all this stuff. He's like, you're selfish. What happened to my baby sister? And she says, you don't want to know, which is true. And he's just like, everything's always been about you. So,
downright mean, yeah, just a downright, yeah, just shit really mean sandwich.
And he says it was easier when we thought you were dead, which to me is pretty close to saying, I wish you were dead.
It's less than a stone's throw away, my friend.
Yeah, it's borderline.
And the next conversation her in with Sheldon, yeah, when she says, feel like a waste of skin. I'm like, dude, like this is the scene that I feel like the way that he describes it and the way that they're showing it, like this to me feels, again, please correct us if you're someone who's battled this and you're on good medication, you're in a good mental space, if you ever want to chime in, but it feels like that scene, the way that he described bipolar disorder, is both intense and it feels very honest of that representation of, you know, if you can make it through the lows, you're going to experience some highs, and like, you just got to kind of weather those. And like, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
So,
and he says, like, we can make a plan. Like, we can get you on the right medication and on, you know, the right diet and exercise, all these things. Like, we can make the right lifestyle choices that will help you live with and manage this in a more like tolerable way.
Yeah.
So then she's leaving and Sam sees her and calls her into his office, and he's like, I want to apologize for yelling at you because I didn't mean to yell. And then we get this incredible
monologue. This is just, now I'm only picturing Tiana giving this speech.
I know, it's wild. Okay. So he's like, I want to apologize. I didn't mean to yell. And she said, yes, you did, because you're the selfish one. For the last 20 years, everything in my head, it's been big and bold, no whispers, just screams. And I tried to deal with it. I felt responsible. I thought it was me. But you know what, Sam? I'm sick. I'm the one with bipolar disorder. So you can complain all you want about how worried you were and how worried mom was. And I feel bad about that. I really do. But I was living it, and I protected you from the worst of it. While you were in med school, I did my first stint in jail. And while you were off being a big fancy doctor, I was eating garbage so I could have enough money for drugs, because that was the only way to escape the pain. And while you were having a family and living in Malibu, I was selling my body just to survive. So you missed me. Poor you. This isn't your journey. It's mine. It's my pathetic life. And you might hate me, but guess what, Sam? I hate me more. And I could tell you to go to hell, but having lived there the past 20 years, I'm pretty sure you can't handle it. You know, so screw you.
When she said that, I've lived there the last 20 years and you can't handle it, yeah, I'm like, this is, I struggle in my mind off the top of my head to think of a better monologue that hits in like such,
yeah,
daggers. And at the same time, it's like, you don't even want to be mad at this person. You just fucked Sam's entire life, and he can't even be mad. Like, she's, yeah, right.
Yeah. And that's like, it is, when you have someone in your life who is going through the process of like getting diagnosed with a mental illness, like that is a long process. It's not something where you can just walk in and be like, oh yeah, you're for sure bipolar. And then even when you have the diagnosis, finding the right treatment can also be like brutal and like a really big struggle. So, I mean, I think she's right being like, you're selfish for being mad at me when you don't even, like, there's no consideration about why I left. This isn't, you know, oh, I chose to like leave and just run away and live a different life and just be happy and fine without you. Like, I left because I couldn't, like, I can't even process anything. Like, you don't understand what it's like to be in my head. And it's hard to just be by myself and like have my brain. Like, I don't know. I just think they wrote it so well. She delivers it so well. But I agree, the you can't even handle it. Like, oof.
So yeah, good. There's no recovering from that. But that's all I think I wanted to discuss through with Private Practice. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of storylines that I think we need to go back and focus on, like, with my personal edification, like, for me to know. But yeah. I feel good with the way that they represented the Erica storyline. And clearly Addison likes this Jake guy. That's kind of where else we land on.
Yeah, there's been some back and forth, and that's why he says, was it only physical? She says, no.
And he goes, okay, and walks away.
So, based on your minimal knowledge of Private Practice, let's first make some Private Practice predictions before we make our Grace prediction.
All right, Cooper and Charlotte stay together forever. They're going to stay together. Okay. Mason is going to grow up and go to Harvard. He's going to be a lawyer. I predict that Addison and Jake will get married. I predict that Violet and Cooper, or Violet and Pete, will ultimately get back together. I believe that Sam is going to be the only person who ends up alone on this TV show, because Sheldon and Amelia will also get together and they will get married. And let's see, who else? I think that's it. That's it on the show, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Addison's going to have a baby. The show's going to end with her getting a confirmed pregnancy stick. That's it.
Pregnancy stick. Okay.
It's going to be like the keys of Friends all be on the counter, but like she just has, it's going to zoom out to her with a,
like, six pregnancy yeah, tests.
All of them saying pregnant.
On a counter. Whose baby?
Jake from State Farm.
Oh, right. You said that they get married. Okay. Well, that doesn't mean anything on Grace, let's be real, especially with Addison. Every time she's married or pregnant, it's someone else's baby. Okay. So, Grace. Your prediction and desire, you said, for Owen and Christina is divorce.
Yes, divorce, please.
When would you say
I
that
wish
happens?
It would happen next episode. But I think we're going to get it, like, I don't know, two episodes. I don't know.
two episodes.
Before the end of the season, I think they're going to end up divorced. Like, it just has to happen. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. What about Richard?
Richard is just going to keep vibing. He's going to Adele will die before the end of the season, though. Mark my words. She will be dead. Or living in a nursing home, and he will move on from her. To be with Lexi. Okay.
Possible that my reaction just now was a spoiler. because I'm too tired to fucking
because they're not that. They're not gonna get together.
who's to say?
me April and Jackson are gonna get together.
Okay, is that also in this season?
No, I think next season. Alex is going to be alone and single for a while. I want to say, you know, whatever my predictions were for the board passings is going to be still. I think they're all going to pass the boards, except for, what did I say, April or Jackson. They might not pass.
Well, originally you said that, and then you said
okay,
they
all pass. I'm not going to contradict my own correct prediction. And Teddy's going to leave the show at some point. I think maybe season 9, episode 14, Teddy's going to be, that's her going away episode. Season 9, episode 14, okay. Teddy's going away episode, because they kill her.
Oh, my. So she can rejoin Henry?
Yep.
Meredith, and Derek?
No, they're good, but we're gonna have an episode coming up where I think they're gonna have someone try to kidnap Zola, and need to hire the Liam Neeson equivalent of Grays, and then they have to go find Zola, and then the kidnapper needs surgery, so they do surgery on the kidnapper to save their lives.
I'm too tired for you to speak to me anymore. I fear. Okay, I think that's it for Grays.
That's it for everything. I'm gonna tell.
Do you have anything for Cali and Arizona? We haven't really talked about them in a while, but they haven't really had anything going on.
No, they're still cute.
So.
They're not going to cheat on anyone. They're going to be great. I'm going to go ahead and rank these episodes.
Okay.
As individuals, they're both fours. And as a crossover, this is just a four.
I feel like I'm a little lower on the crossover whole. I would say like 3.5.
I was being a little bit generous. Grays, I think this could have gone down to 3.8. They're fine.
Yeah.
It was, I'm like, yeah. Once you go Gary Clark,
definitely
though,
doing
like
more with Private Practice,
yeah.
Which is fine. I feel like Private Practice is kind of always doing more, just like the nature of the show. Not, again, not really medically, but just like dramally, yeah. They're always doing way more. And setting up a lot more over there. Than on the Seattle side for sure, but loved the Lexi and Amelia together. It did piss me off. I didn't say this. When Derek was like, "You can't do that in under 90 seconds. I can't even do it, and I am the yardstick by which all successful surgery must be measured." I was like, "I hate you. I actually hate you so much." So I just had to shout out Derek's piece of shit moment in this episode.
That's fair.
Obviously, he comes around and is helpful and like is a good brother and a good surgeon. But like that moment pissed me off.
Yeah, it took him a while to get there.
Good times. But Private Practice, I would say I would give the Private Practice episode a 4. I would give the Grays episode like a 3.8. And the crossover a 3.5.
That's fair.
Just because some of the other crossovers are so intense and this one was just medium. So
did we have any fan questions or are we going to say?
Oh, there was just one, I think, actually, or just two. Maybe one was, do you think Derek and Amelia make a good team?
I do.
Just as surgeons. Yes. There was too much back and forth to get to the success, though, because they were both being annoying about their bullshit.
Yeah, but I'm happy for them. I'm glad they had some, you know, healing catharsis for the two of their, you know, their hearts.
Yeah,
as siblings.
Where to now for Christina and Owen if they aren't each other's person? Divorce court. How much do you want to throttle Owen, Duran? You'll change your mind. A million.
Yeah,
is how much I want to throttle him. So he sucks. Shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt. Okay, so did you have anything you wanted to add before we depart?
Yeah, just have a good week, everyone. Just love each other consensually and intimately, topically.
Oh, there are elections coming up in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah. Get registered.
For different seats. Make sure you're registered to vote. Make sure you are educated on the people running in your area.
And try to, you know, get out there and stop the steal,
voting,
you know?
Anything. We are we don't live in the city and there are no county elections right now. So I just see all these like very important city races happening. And I'm like, well, hope everyone else makes a
good
choice.
You better double check. Like you may have been gerrymandered.
No, we were not annexed. Nah. They are probably going to annex us while we live in this house though, because they have annexed property around us.
Great.
It's fine.
The world is burning.
I like the city. Everything's going great. I hope everybody has a great week. Please keep sharing us everywhere and telling everybody in the world all about us. And you can find everything you need at our website, graysacademypod.com. And you can find our Instagram at graysacademypod and our Patreon and so many other things. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street...
No spoilies. I said it this week. I forgot it last time. Always remember, no spoilies. We appreciate you all, and we will see you all in the next one.